Why don't you switch the order? Why you do that? That's too much change. We talked about this, Steven. My anxiety.
If you don't calm your ass down right now. I'm about to buzz my head just to watch you freak out.
Me too. I'm about to go full fucking Jimmy Neutron in this bitch.
Congratulations, everyone, on another amazing week. I am your host, Stephen Woodson, and joining me, as always, is the lively Keith Parker.
Hello!
And you are listening to Congratulations, You're Divorced. So, Parker, I got to ask you something that's been bothering me all day. You texted me earlier and mentioned live solutions.
Oh, live solutioning. Yeah.
What is that?
I've had a couple weeks at work that have been stressful, and I realize that I've done a pretty terrible job at like dumping that anxiety before I got done. All my little techniques, right? All meditation or just stretching, walking. Sometimes it just builds up and it's not quite enough. So I needed a way, and this is how my brain works, right? I needed a way to like set a computer off in the background to be able to live process things and get over them.
Mm-hmm.
As like they happen. Like I need to not keep receipts for shit. I need to learn how to let stuff go instantly, like as it's happening. So over the past few days, if something has, and it kind of started off as a funny technique, because as something would happen to me that frustrated me, I would just go on mute on my call and I would just scream at my bookshelf. Like I would just insult it. Pardon me. I would just insult it. I would just do whatever I wanted to say to that person. I would just get it out on my bookshelf and then I'd just be like, that's it. It's gone.
Yeah.
And I would end it almost like a prayer. Like instead of amen, I was like, it's gone. Like kind of like I was talking to my kid. I'm like, this is done. It's over. You don't get a choice anymore. So you screamed about it. That's it. Move on. And I, like I said, I just couldn't carry those receipts anymore after work. Like they were stacking up on me. And
yeah.
Even though they were manageable, I was the real reason for that live solutioning was because I didn't like having to take time after work, even if it was like 20 or 30 minutes to like decompress. It aggravated me because I felt like I was getting robbed of time with my girlfriend or robbed of time with my kids or just with me, right? Just to sit and be by myself. Because I had to figure out how to forgive person A at work or, you know, figure out how to come up with a solution because person B didn't do their job correctly or whatever it may be, right? I was taking, even if it was just a little bit, I was still taking work home with me. And that was, it was bugging me. So
I've actually been dealing with that too, because anytime depression comes and knocks on my door and just shoves his ass in and says, hey, we're sad now, and then go sits his ass on the couch, all I seem to think about is that you're only here to rob me from my happiness. Like, I don't even have anything to be sad about. You just barged in, came into my house and said, hey, I'm here to stay. And I don't have anything to be sad about. I just kept feeling like he was robbing me of my time that I could be happy. Cause that's more time that I have to vent and process to my wife or to you or whoever. And just like try to work myself through that moment when instead I could be calling you and be like, bro, it's a fucking amazing day. What are you up to?
So it's worked better with those immediate emotions of like anger or sadness. Like I haven't, like I said, it's relatively new for me to try to handle it. Cause once again, like just boxing things up, right? You box it up, you deal with it later.
Yeah.
I'm not experienced in using it enough to have battled with my anxiety with it or my depression yet. It's been more of those triggering emotions, the ones that start the fuse, right? That little bit of anger that gets under your skin and then it festers for a little bit and then all of a sudden you're sad. Like I'm trying to catch it instantaneously, like as I feel my chakra shift, right? Like as I feel my emotion spike or I feel something pull me off center, it's an immediate like grab with two hands and go, what are you? What is this? Why? Oh, you're mad? Okay, well be mad, but you got 4 seconds. 1, 2, 3, don't be mad no more. Fuck off. And I just throw it away. And I'm like, you're done. You're done. Mm. I handled you. It wasn't a big deal because it's not avoidance. It's I'm trying to catch them before they fester. Right. So if it's something that I haven't had something come up yet, that's big enough where I'm like, oh, that's kind of a core thing, like a boundary was crossed or something like that, right? It's just somebody says something stupid or somebody didn't do their job and now I have to fix it. That pisses me off. Okay. Do I need to be pissed off all day about that? No. Do I need to be pissed off for an hour about that? No. You'd be pissed off for like 30 seconds and then you just let that shit go. Like, it is what it is. It's outside your circle of influence. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But my dumb ass would just hold on to it and just be like, fuck that person. I can't believe they do that. Why can't they do their job? You know, and then it's dinner time and you're like, you put your fork through your plate and your pork chop just because you're thinking about that one email that person sent and you're ignoring this quality time you should be having with the people in your life that you care about. So, yeah. To be determined, right? We'll see what happens. We'll see if it keeps working. We'll see if it's a good thing for me, because I don't want to ignore feelings,
yeah.
Right? Like, I don't want to ignore emotions or just analyze them and let them go. I want to actually process through them, but I feel like these little just mosquito emotions almost, right? Just these little gnats that you're like, why? Get away.
So the other day I heard Ian Morgan Cron talk about his emotions and feelings that he deals with constantly. Mm-hmm. And he said that he kind of took an approach similar to yours, where he would get aggressive with them or he would get really, really dramatic about it. And he said he got exhausted with constantly having to battle or cry over his emotions. And he mentioned that he found a gentler approach was better. And he said, instead of saying, I have anxiety or I'm battling anxiety right now, he changed the language to, oh, anxiety is here now. And then he turns to anxiety, talks to it, addresses it for what it is, and then tries to find a resolution, treats it like a person. And some of that feels a little wishy-washy, and some of it is actually pretty comforting, because that's what I've been doing here lately with my emotions, is anytime that sadness just like builds up. I was standing over and washing dishes the other day, and I felt it in my chest, like just sadness. And I was like, hold up. Do I have anything to be sad about? No. Is there anything happening right now? Nope. I'm in the house by myself. Yes. Okay. I'm not feeling sad right now because none of those boxes checked yes. So sadness must be here right now. Hey, sadness. What's going on, man? Like, why are you here? He's like, I'm just chilling out. And I'm like, you know, this is when we usually get sad. It's like, I don't think I need you today. Like, I think I'm good. It's like, okay, all right. And he like literally he just kind of faded into the background. It was beautiful because it was just, I don't know, I got to have a kind of like we talked about, like the conversation with myself. And it's not always the dark side, it's not always, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I get to have that conversation with myself and just say, hey, what's going on? What, why are you hurt? Most of the time it's nothing. Most of the time he's like, oh, I thought this is what we usually do. It's, yeah,
it's a pattern, right? It's a feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Same as like dealing with anxiety or like having a hard time sleeping, where you just kind of lay awake.
Sometimes you do that too.
But laying awake at night and just like worrying about everything that happened during the day or what's going to come up the next day, instead of doing that, just be like, hey, why are you here?
See, and maybe I'm just not to the point in my healing journey yet where I can gentle parent my anxiety or depression. Because that's what that sounds like, is just being real. Like, I think I'm in the had a baby when I was 17 phase of like, sit the fuck down. Like, just get the fuck out of my kitchen. Like, just whatever it is. Like, I don't think I'm there to just have the conversation, because I've dealt with it for fucking 30 years at this point. Like, I'm tired of them being here. And so, yeah. This technique is working, right? And it's more, and instead of, I guess if you're going to paint a scale here, right? You have, it's Ian Morgan Cron, right? I don't want to mess up his name. So if your scale is this side is Ian Morgan Cron and this side is David Goggins.
Oh God.
Then I am on the side of David Goggins. That's this is like, I'd just rather stare at it, call it a pussy and do pushups until the fucking thing went away. Like, that's the point in my healing journey. Maybe I'll get to, you know, like it's a scale, right? And it flexes and, you know, and it fluctuates and it goes up and down and left and right and whatever. But me personally, if I'm in the kitchen and I get sad, I turn around like that motherfucker to try to pick my pocket and I grab it by the throat. And I'm like, why do you exist?
Yeah.
Like, you are a mistake. You need to leave immediately. Like, I just, Yeah, I don't have any patience for it anymore. It's just I've been tired or anxious or sad for useless things for so long that I just like I'm the old man sitting in the yard with a shotgun, and the second anxiety touches a blade of grass, I'm just like click clack. What are we doing? Like, you better stay on the sidewalk. Like, I ain't playing with you today.
Jesus.
So
I think I'm going to take an audio clip of you just saying, you are a mistake. Why do you exist? And that's going to now be something I keep on my phone. So when I'm feeling down about myself, I'll listen to that, be like, fuck no, you're wrong. And then I'll just feel better. That's my
plan. There you go. Yeah. However you turn it around works for me. Yeah. I do think that the dualistic approach there, I don't know why my brain skipped a beat trying to say dualistic approach there.
Did you want to say Dua
Lipa? But I think that I may Dua Lipa-licious. What I could just keep what Badonka Donka Dua Lipa Leap, like banana B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This shit's bananas. What do we like? Keep it rolling. But the dualistic approach of being able to look at this problem from either side, right? I think is the important part, especially for me and you, is that there are going to be days, right, where you're going to talk to it nicely and it's not going to leave. And it's like, what are you going to do then?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. What are you going to, do you have the strength to put it in a headlock and throw it out? Or are you just going to let it hijack you, you know, and just go, well, I tried this, it didn't work. So, and they're going to, just to flip that, right, there are going to be days where I'm going to yell at it and it's not going to move. And I'm going to be like, okay, buddy, what's wrong?
That right there, that is what I've been doing. Because I just told you, I think it was in the last episode, but I just told you how, like, I was walking by the mirror and I had to yell at myself, or not me, but that critical side of me. It's just learning how each one of them needed to be spoken to.
Yeah.
Because, like, that critical, that fat shaming one side of me, yeah, he's a bitch. I'm tired of hearing his voice. So he needs some tough love. He needs to get out and go run. That's what he needs. You know, the sad one kind of creeps in like Eeyore. No, I need to pet him on the head. It's like, hey, buddy, what's going on? I think the dude from Elf, hey, buddy, hope you find your dad.
Yeah. It's basically that. Like,
yeah,
just to tie it all back together, that's the point I'm trying to avoid with the live processing, right? With the live, just as it's coming up, trying to keep it from all of a sudden me being at home waiting on someone to get home and then just get sad. And my whole night is me trying to unprocess it. I'm trying to take a more proactive approach with my mental health. And that's one of the reasons I sent you that text. And, you know, over the past couple of years, we've been doing this, right? Like, this isn't a shock for me and you, but
yeah,
just trying to find new techniques, right? Trying to explore new things and see what works and what doesn't. And, cause you know, in a few weeks, I may burn out on this and this may not work for me, or may not work in the situation I'm trying to apply it to, but it's a tool.
Yeah.
It's a tool that I now have in my toolkit that I can use. So
that's the beauty of self-awareness. We talked about that in season one.
Well, one of the things that you've been doing at work more is taking walks, right? Like, I've been trying to live process more, but I've heard you, like, instead of, you know, I'm kind of locked at my desk in meetings and things like that. And you have a little more flexibility in kind of your ebbs and flows of work. So you're able to get outside a little bit, stretch your legs, and actually use the sun to your advantage. So would you say that's kind of your version of what I've been doing, is you're getting outside and giving it a second to breathe? Or
I've been trying to give all my emotions space here lately, other than the critical fat shaming one. He's been way too loud. I mean, I'm talking way too loud lately, but I've been trying to give space to all of them, just let them breathe. Not just at work, but the hikes that I've been on here lately have really helped bring me back to me. And I've been able to, like, the other day I was at Blue Mountain, and that's a whole experience. I have just realized I didn't even tell you the rest of that story.
No, you didn't. So
it was just a roller coaster, because so the trail's not marked yet. It's a new trail here in Arkansas, and they have the signs up, but there's no, like, trail maps and
nothing on the websites, nothing on there. They made an Instagram post saying, hey, it's open, but none of the official documentation is out for none of the markers, nothing on the website, none of that.
Yeah.
So, and yo dumbass.
Well, I wanted to be one of the first. Like, I saw a ridge. Okay. I saw a bunch of rocks, and I wanted to be one of the first ones up there, other than the crew obviously building the trail. And I run into a couple, I think they're axe murderers. I don't know. Like, they kind of came out of nowhere and were following me. And then when I came back to the intersection, they're like, what made you turn around? And I was like, I'm just trying to get up the mountain. And then she's like, I don't think there is a mountain. She's like, I think they just built the trail around it. And I was like, I see rocks. Like, they're right there. Like, we can get to this. I know we can.
Yeah, there's nothing stopping me from getting there except for these bushes. I just got to figure out how to navigate them.
Yeah. And then he's like, okay, well, holler if you need anything. If you see any bears or dead bodies, just let us know. And I was like, why did you immediately go to dead bodies to one of the only people on this mountain with you?
Yeah. Thanks, Dahmer. See you on the hike later. Like, fuck out of here.
So anyway, that was a bit of a trip. And then, so finally I call you, all right, I'm bitching to that. I can't find my way up this mountain. I'm going to end up taking an axe and my big pants and big boots and just go out there and just, you know, bushwhack my way.
Lumberjacket. Yeah.
So I get done with all that and I make my way back down to the trail, take off my hiking boots, throw on my slides, put my backpack in the back of the Jeep, shut the door, and I hear a click and the door's locked. My key was inside the backpack. And I was like, well, shit. First things first, I had my phone and I had my vape. And I was like, okay, I can kill time.
we got time. We can make this work.
But I realized I didn't have water. So that was going to be a problem. Not to mention, I was rationing my water on the mountain. Now it was my time. I was going to chug and rehydrate. So that was kind of a bummer. So I called my wife. She was actually able to get out of work early and come pick my dumb ass up.
Stupid ass.
But during the time waiting on her to come pick me up, I was able to accept peace for one of the first times in a while. In a weird situation, right? Like something that everything has gone sideways. I didn't plan on any of this to happen. I'm thirsty as shit. Like I would love a glass of water. And everything's kind of out of my control. I was at peace. I was like, you know what? I've had an amazing day. I got to chill out in bed, enjoy my day off, have some coffee. I got up, did some stretching, took my ass to a mountain. Like, beautiful, sunny, 75-degree weather, February day. Like, life's amazing.
Yeah.
Even though things went a little bit sideways, like, I got to sit there and just accept peace. And that's something that I haven't really been able to do a lot of lately. And I think learning how to address and see what emotion needs what form of communication has been helping me drastically. This morning I was going to work and I had that same feeling of just like, I woke up in a good mood, text you. I was getting affirmations out left and right, manifestations to everybody, just vibing. And I realized this morning too, I was like, hey, like, accept this moment for what it is. Cause I thought about it for a second. I was like, this good mood is probably going to like just vanish when I get to work.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what if it doesn't? What if I just manifest that it's going to be a good day? Okay. It's going to be a great day. That just helped me build on top of myself. And I actually had to tell myself, learn to appreciate this moment. It's the cookie jar method that you and I have talked about before,
mm-hmm.
but I've never really been able to execute the cookie jar method. And I realized that like the goal isn't to be happy all the time. Like no one can be happy all the time.
Mm-mm.
So if I can learn to appreciate my peace and happiness more, the times where depression knocks on the door and says, hey, I'm here, it just gets a little bit easier because I don't lose memory of the good times. I know that, hey, depression's going to have to be here some days.
Mm-hmm.
Sadness, anger, they're going to show up. They're part of the group. I don't get to just nix them out. But love, peace, joy, like those guys get to hang out too. And that's really exciting.
And if you did your job right and you made enough cookies, then you can sit there and eat on good memories the whole time that they're there with you.
Yeah.
You can just counteract them with all the things that you put in there.
Yeah.
And that's another just shout out to David Goggins in his first book. Cause that method I never actually had a name to it, but being able to take those moments, appreciate them, identify them, and then save them and then go, I might need this. Like, let me remember how good that coffee was I made. That may have been the best fucking cup of coffee I made this year.
Yeah.
It was just the right temperature. It was perfect. My Jeep was the right temperature when I got in it. The freeway was just clear going into work. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that felt good. And even those three simple things right there, you cookie jarred that and you're like, man, we just cruising, had the radio going, air on, whatever it is, sipping coffee, just vibing. Right.
Yeah.
So
I'm telling you, it's growing on me too. Like, it gets easier. It feels like I'm practicing a muscle group in the gym.
Yeah.
Because it's reps. Just last week I was at Emerald Park and I was hiking. And I told you about that. Like I had sat there and just took in the sun, mm-hmm. took in the breeze, the warmness of the air, the birds chirping, watching the river, seeing the city skyline, just living life and just truly appreciating and accepting that moment. That was probably the first time I'd ever truly, truly accepted a peaceful moment where my brain wasn't like wandering to other places. and then less than a week later, I get to do the same thing. I mean, it's like I've noticed it's building on itself. I did actually have a banging cup of coffee the other day at work, and I was like, man, this is nice. Like, this is nice. I'm just going to enjoy this. Mm-hmm. Usually I watch the news. Nope. I just sat there in silence. I was like, this is a great cup of coffee. Man, I'm lucky.
Just enjoying yourself, enjoying everything about that, the aroma, the little steam, whatever, like whatever the ritual is, right? Little before you take a sip. Mm-hmm. Like, just really like that phrase, you know, stop and smell the roses. Like, you don't understand it until stuff like that begins to happen in your life. We're like, oh, this little like 30, 45 second stretch I had was, that was a really dope time. That was a lot of fun. Like, I had a lot of fun doing nothing or just existing or whatever it is. So I have a story that I did not tell you. The other day when I went out for my little mental health walk, because you inspired me to get out of the house more, because I do stay locked at my computer more than I should. You know, home work, life balance, whatever. But I got particularly elevated before this walk because I sent you a snap before I went on it.
Yeah, I remember.
Because I wanted to just, like you said, I wanted to just have a moment to myself, right? My girlfriend is still at work. Kids are at the mama's house. I'm done with work. I just want to go have some time with me and the sidewalk and my music. So it's a dope walk. But I get about halfway through and I'm walking by an elementary school in our neighborhood. And I see up the hill a kid on like a Razor scooter, right? Like one of the little pedal scooters.
Yeah.
And I, to my right at the elementary school, I see like four kids. There may have been someone's mom over there, but you know, she may have been short and blended in one. I don't know. There are four people over at the school playing basketball. So I've got my headphones in and this kid sees me and he just starts beelining it towards me. Okay. Just like he gets on his little scooter and just haul assing towards me. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, okay. And I see him talking to me, but I can't, dude, I've got fucking Meg the Stallion just going at 3,700 decibels. I can't hear shit. Mm-hmm. So I take a headphone out. I'm like, what's going on, brother, man? And he was like, pardon me, sir. Do you see those kids over there? And I was like, the kids at school? And he's like, yeah. He was like, well, they called me a bitch and made fun of me. And I was, and this kid's probably maybe 10, maybe 10 or 11. And my brain had a moment because I'm vibing, right? I don't want my vibe to be fucked up, but I also am in the point to where I want other people to be vibing.
God, I hope you're going where I think you're going.
So I don't want this kid's spirit to be broken, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm leaning down. I'm like, hey, man, where's your mom and daddy at? And he goes, well, my mom's at the house, but my dad's, he's at work, but he's on his way up here. And I was like, let me tell you something, man. Are you having a good time right now? He kind of like looked at me. I was like, that scooter. Are you having fun riding your scooter? He was like, yeah. And I was like, it's a nice day out, right? It's pretty. And he was like, yeah. And I looked at him and I looked over at the kids at the elementary school. I looked back at him. I said, fuck them kids and fuck what they say about you. You go ride your scooter and have a good day, buddy. Fucking threw my headphone back in and took off walking up the hill. And this little motherfucker followed me for another half a mile before I finally had to turn around and be like, get! Like, you're going to fuck around, get me caught up in kidnapping. I'm sure that was a fun conversation. We got home. It's like, daddy, I saw a stranger and he told me, fuck them kids. Like, God. But I genuinely felt that in my soul. I was like, are you having fun, buddy? Like, are you out here having a good time, man? Like, yeah. Are you enjoying yourself out here? Yeah. Don't let them rain on your parade. Like, just avoid them.
I was really worried that this was a day where you chose to burn the world. And when he said, these kids over here call me a bitch, I thought you were about to say, listen here, little kid. It's because you is a bitch. And just walk off.
I would be remiss if I said that didn't cross my mind. But like I said, I was vibing. I wanted good vibes. Now, if I had taken an anger walk where I was frustrated and some kid was like, mister, those kids called me a bitch, I'd have probably been like, well, it sounds like you're being one. So fuck off. Like, but since I took 30 seconds, right, to kind of process everything that was going on, I didn't have a lot of shit. I didn't have a lot of baggage with me on my walk. I was able to elevate and then kind of free my mind and just enjoy it. So when I had that interaction with that kid, I was able to not have any emotions. I was able to kind of look at him and go, you know what? Like, I meant that from the bottom of my heart. Like, I could have delivered it better, but like, fuck them kids, fuck them people. Don't let them ride on your parade, kid. Have a fun time. Like, go out and enjoy it. So, cause that's what I was doing, right? Like, I didn't care what anybody thought about me. I was wearing, you know, I wasn't in a matching tracksuit or nothing. Like, I was in mismatched sweats, probably had wool socks on, like hoodie that didn't match anything and a hat on backwards. Like, I'm just vibing. Leave me alone. I'm out here enjoying my life. So,
yeah. I like that. I'm proud of that. You were able to give some positive light to a kid in need, and probably teach him some words that he probably didn't know yet, but I'm proud of you.
He knew Butch, so he knew that one. So I didn't teach him that one. I just taught him how to trump that one. That's the important piece of information for him to have. Like,
I want a future view of this kid's life where he's just dominating the world. Cause now his model is just fuck off. Yeah. You call me a bitch, fuck off. I ain't putting up with you. The confidence and the boundaries that this kid will have is just astronomical. I want to see him become president.
Yeah. I hope he does something awesome because he seemed like a good kid. He seemed nice, right? But I don't know. If we're being honest, you tattle to a stranger. You're being a little bit of a bitch. So I don't necessarily disagree with the people playing basketball. Like, that's kind of bitch level activity. Like, you going to snitch to a stranger? Like, what am I going to do? Motherfucker, I'm on the sidewalk. Like, who? I ain't nobody's daddy. Like, not that you know. Like, leave me alone. So, like, I wanted him to have a good time, but in reality, I probably should have told him. Like, he's being a little bit of a bitch.
Did you hear the story about the toddler that ratted out on the people holding the women hostage?
No. Where the fuck was this at? What toddler? Who snitched?
So, apparently, I think this was Chicago. I'm not sure. I just heard this on the news either this morning or yesterday. But the police raided this group of people's house because they had suspicion that they had kidnapped somebody and was holding them there hostage. So the police come in, they're asking everybody questions, and they keep lying, obviously saying they don't know anything. And they had like a 3-year-old that comes out and says, "The lady in the closet?"
I mean, good on the 3-year-old because...
Yeah. So they found the lady, obviously, and those people all went to prison. And I just think that's awesome. I think that's karma. But
see, this is why. See, that's how I know that my dad was a good criminal. My dad never let me talk to the police. Now I know why. Because kids are dumb and we'd have snitched. Like, that's why I wonder why I always had to stay in my room when they came to talk. Like,
yeah.
Should give my father more credit.
What made me think of that was, I don't know, one of the Tonight Show people had said that Dr. Seuss was coming out with a new book called Snitches Get Stitches. So,
I'm almost went on a tangent about good snitching and bad snitching, but that has nothing to do with our podcast. So I was like, I do got to keep it remotely close.
So I just had a idea. It's storming its ass off here. I don't know about at your house, but it's a mess right now. So I thought I would get a little moody and dramatic if you're willing to go there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wrote all this sad shit down when I was getting divorced, leading up to the divorce, post-divorce, dating, into marriage, all that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought something fun that we could do would be take some of my journal entries and kind of a post-mortem, if you will, like a diagnosis of kind of what I was going through, things that you probably would have said to me if I was coming to you with this information.
So you want retro therapy?
Yeah, in a sense, retro therapy. I want to be able to go back and look at a situation that I was in based off my journal entry and see how you would possibly advise me in that situation or how you would have talked me through it. Would you have talked me off the ledge? That kind of stuff. So this current situation was about 2 months or so after divorce. I'm a free man, single. I think at this moment I'm about to move into a new apartment, but I haven't just yet. And basically I was in this space where I felt like I kept slipping into preset narratives. Like I felt like I should get back out there and date. I owed it to myself. I deserved to see what else is out there, see if I can achieve more, be better, have new experiences. And I was struggling with whether or not I wanted to put up with all the romantics, all the flirting, all the vulnerability, and just backbreaking stuff that dating can be, just filtering through all the, I almost said trash, but I wanted to be polite to some people out there.
Well, you know, it happens. There's a left swipe for a reason.
Yeah. Or if I would just be better off staying single for a while and not really trying to find anything. I enjoyed having a choice in that moment, mm-hmm. but none of it was my path. It felt like I was looking for the thing that I should do. And I got stuck there in that headspace.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have told, like, if you'd have brought that to me, I'd have told you to stay single. That would have been my initial gut reaction to you. I'd have put my arm around you and I'd have been like, well, look, here's the thing. If all that shit stresses you out, the whole minutia of dating, and it's not something you're looking forward to and it's not something you're excited about, then just fucking leave it alone.
Yeah.
Like, find some shit that does excite you. Find some shit that does light your fire, right? Or some stuff that just doesn't rain on your parade of whatever you've got going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that's how I feel. That's how I generally feel about things is that if I'm not going to enjoy them, then like I'll just take a break from it for a little bit. Especially with something like this, because 2 months after divorce, right, getting ready to make a relatively large life change and finally moving into your own spot. There's a lot of variables going on in your life. And so with me being the type of person that I am, I like to manage risk mm-hmm. and I like to manage the amount of changes that happen in my life. So that way I can, you know, implement them one by one and not get overwhelmed by stuff. So I'd have told you to sit your ass down somewhere and enjoy your apartment.
Yeah.
Why are you worried about a woman? What, they moving in with you? You got to split bills with somebody? What are you doing? Like, you just left someone. Like, chill out. Sit on your couch. Watch Avengers. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
So we're going drinking on Saturday. Like,
I can't say that I would have listened to you. Like, loneliness was a really big portion of this. And I think you know how that feels.
Yeah.
It was a little different because you had your kids, but I mean, it was almost more lonely whenever they would go to their moms for the week.
Yeah. The silence is deafening.
But knowing that if I chose to just be by myself and really, really commit to figuring out who I am, that means I have to face two things. And that means, one, I have to be alone. Mm-hmm. And two, what if I don't like the version of me that I find?
Yeah.
And that scared the shit out of me.
I mean, and obviously the easy answer to that is like, well, you get to change him, right? Like, if you meet him, you don't like him, guess what? That's you. Change the motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't found Goggins yet. So that was.
Yeah. Getting to apply some of that knowledge that we have now back then, of course, would have been great. Or just getting to read a few articles that we got to read now. But yeah, I definitely wouldn't have. I wouldn't have pushed you mm-hmm. to, you know, really do anything you didn't want to do or that made you uncomfortable. Like, especially in that moment, being super vulnerable and yeah. being as. I mean, you just like molted, right? Like, you're super vulnerable to the world. So yeah, I would be like, why the hell would you even work? Like, fine. Like, let's go out and drink, right? Like, let's me and you go out.
I wouldn't even say that I'd molted. Honestly, I feel like I just found out that I was going to molt.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It wasn't, I didn't even know it was happening. I hadn't even made it into the cocoon yet. I heard that there may be a cocoon.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, probably would have poked fun at you and called you a pussy, too, every now and then, you know, just to keep, you know, I gotta keep the tough love up a little bit. But
I'm noticing a trend.
That's a good callback. No, I think it's okay to take either path. I mean, I think it's okay to, you know, try to press through and like exist in the uncomfortable. And I think it's also cool to sit down for a little bit, take you a little rest. Mm-hmm. Especially after a chaotic, traumatic event, right? I'm pretty sure everyone's going to tell you, like, sit your ass down somewhere. Like, stop, like, just yeah. sit down for a little bit. Now, it doesn't really matter what it is, right? Car wreck, mental illness, trauma. It doesn't matter what it is. Sit your ass down somewhere. Just sit down for a little bit.
Take a second.
Yeah. Breathe.
I was trying to figure out how long I should sit down and take a second. Like, I would rest for a weekend and then I would start thinking about, you know, where's my life going? That was the thing. Like, there were so many loose ends. It was, where the fuck is my life going? I don't know what's going to happen next. So it's, am I going to meet somebody? What's my next partner going to look like? What am I going to eat for dinner tomorrow night? Oh my God, what am I going to eat for dinner tomorrow? Like,
yeah,
it just is this constant loop of just thinking about what was next. And so I couldn't really ever find happiness. Just again, I mean, I told you, I just found that shit. Yeah. That just happened.
Yeah. You needed to find you some business, Steven. You got to go find you something. Go find some business to be into. So,
what did you do whenever loneliness was like really setting in and creeping in? Did it ever push you to like search for someone to fill the gap, or what did you do to combat loneliness?
Yeah, no, it was never really an option for me to fill the gap with like a relationship or a person. I would fill it with an encounter, but I wouldn't, I knew better. I knew it was a dangerous area for myself to just jump right back into something. So, anytime I felt lonely, it was, I started embracing the loneliness. Cause as you know, like that's when I started cycling, right? That's when I started doing certain things like going to the gym more often or hiking and just kind of exploring the city or exploring new hobbies. So loneliness to me kind of, it definitely didn't push me towards dating or towards people for sure. I was very much like, nah, it feels icky. I don't like it. But at the same time, I feel like I balanced it later on, right? Not in those early stages. Those early stages was rough. It was a lot of sitting in, eating pizza, watching TV, right? Just sulking and grieving.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get your feet under you and you're able to go back out in the world, for me, it was just embracing. It was writing my own story because this was around the time you kind of told me that the narrator point of view.
Yeah.
And so that's why I kind of took that almost literally and just kind of walked around all day in a like almost Stranger Than Fiction type movie where I was just listening to a narrator tell me.
Okay. Was that shit not fun?
It was a blast because I would trick myself by doing dumb shit. Like I'd be brushing my teeth and then I'd be like, and Keith doesn't even know what's coming next. And then I would be like, oh fuck, what am I doing next? Like, and then I'd be like, well, then I got myself worked up and I'd be like, well, shit, now I gotta go, fuck. Keith's gonna go do a 25-mile bike ride. Like, I'm like, goddamn right I am. And then I just get my shit. Like, I wouldn't even question it, right? I'd just be like, Keith's going on a fucking ride. Like, just happy as shit. But yeah, almost like Pavlov myself with that shit. Just telling myself like I made loneliness an adventure because I knew like my loneliness wasn't death. My loneliness was a temporary state. I understood that. I needed to stay away from people in a relationship or a romantic sense and get my bearings back about me. So loneliness was basically like the hyperbaric time chamber from Dragon Ball Z. Like I got to go in there and just be by myself in an isolated environment and do whatever I wanted to make myself better. So now I didn't always view it as that way because in the beginning it was despair and loss and I didn't know, but as I started realizing like, this too shall pass, like everything comes in cycles. So I'll be happy again, then that'll pass and I'll get sad again. And then that'll pass. It kind of go, okay, well, while I'm here and while I'm alone, let me really hone myself into something I'd be really, really proud of when someone does find me or when I do find someone. So yeah, I treated it like a training ground once I got my legs.
That was a beautiful and very well-educated answer. But I do want to know, because I know you struggle with revisionist history occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Peel back the layers, dig deep. Tell me like a time that you regret reacting to loneliness.
Okay, so you can edit this out if you want or leave this in. But how about every chick I hooked up with on Tinder? How about that one? Like, I had no business being out there and doing that. I was lonely. Like, I mean, just be honest with you, right? Like, those are my mistakes. Like, I went seeking external validation in someone else. And I found it for an evening or two. And then I went on about my merry way.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a healthy way of dealing with it. It felt icky. I didn't like it. But like, it felt superficial and
yeah,
it made my loneliness worse because I was only like, I was just being rented, right? Like nobody bought me. So all it did was it had the inverse effect of what I wanted it to. It didn't make me feel better. It made me feel worse. So
yeah, no one ever tells you that one night stands like only feel good for a second and then just make you feel sad. Like they don't teach you that in school.
Yeah. Cause I still had to go home to my bed alone. And that's like, those were the mistakes that led me to realizing that like I'm always going to be with myself.
Yeah.
So I need to be happy with myself. Otherwise I'll never be happy ever because I can't get rid of me. So that was kind of the click. Like, of course I had to make mistakes and you're right about revisionist history. That's like I said, that's definitely everything I just said was after I got my legs right under me. So
yeah, like that was like knowing and witnessing your story. That was your overarching theme, right? Like you had this box that you could put it in and it was like, I can do better. Like, I know I'm better than this. I want to be proud of myself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there were plenty of nights just getting elevated, watching Rick and Morty. There were plenty of nights staying up till 4 AM playing World of Warcraft, right? Knowing I should have been in bed cause I got a work meeting at 6:30, but I was self sabotaging myself. There were plenty of midnight runs to Taco Bell for some reason, just to because I was lonely and I wanted to talk to someone, and they were the only fucking place that was open. So I got to talk to the cashier for 30 seconds, but I bought $12 worth of food, and now I'm self-sabotaging again. God, dude, like I was less concerned. Like, mistakes are there. There's definitely plenty of them. And I'll be more than happy to discuss any of them with anyone. But yeah, the overarching thing of all of the mistakes that I made through that time period, I only made once, minus some of the tender ones, but I generally have a rule to only make a mistake once, and then I try to learn from it. So even though I would do any of the things from the box, from, you know, Pandora's box, I would generally only do it once, because they, like I said, I would learn from it. I would realize that it was a growing point, or, you know, whether it was consciously or unconsciously, I just would go, that doesn't fit this puzzle I'm trying to put together for me. So even if I did it, I wouldn't carry any guilt about it, right? I wouldn't go back and undo it, because I learned everything I could do from it. So
yeah, using that principle of learning from your mistakes, even if it's retroactively, isn't justification for what you do. If you create a pattern out of something, yeah. I think this was right around the time where I discovered the whole mantra that has served me so well over the years now, is just, if you're not uncomfortable, you're not growing. Mm. I mean, the having to accept the loneliness and know that, like, if I want to ever find peace with myself, to just take it, you know, accept what's uncomfortable. This is going to suck for a little while. You know, I wish I could say that that's exactly what I did. I kept pushing this button for a little while and ended up in an unhealthy relationship because I was afraid to be lonely. I knew the idea of getting to a point where I could be free with myself and accept me for who I was. But like I said earlier, I was way too scared of what I was going to find at the other end, because I knew the divorce had affected me so much. It felt like it shifted my DNA. And so I was afraid of what kind of twisted monster. Like, I walked into the battlefield looking like King Leonidas, but I walk away with a little humpback and like going and running to tell the story. Like, it just, I was afraid of what kind of monster I would find in there. And it just, it scared me to a point. But yeah, I would love to go back and just tell myself, hey, just sit in the uncomfortable, man. Like, you're only ever going to be able to love somebody truly if you love that guy that's in the mirror.
It sounds to me like you weren't really celebrating your loneliness. Like, it was a curse to you. So it wasn't something that you could really embrace or utilize.
Yeah, 100%. It was scary. Yeah, it was definitely a curse. This was well before the time, like, you and I came up with congratulations.
Yeah.
Of just being able to celebrate, like, the trauma, celebrate the experience in your life, because you don't know when you'll ever get to experience this again, or when you can tell the story to somebody, help somebody. I mean, it's just, the possibilities are endless.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of celebration, though, I got to ask you, what are you celebrating this week?
That's a good question. To be honest, the first thing I come up with is just surviving work. I'm celebrating just one more week of that getting done, and this project that I'm on coming to a close. I'm celebrating getting my boys back, looking forward to just being dad this weekend, right? And just doing some fun stuff, whatever it is, just getting into some shit with them.
Yeah,
snuggles, wrestling. Somebody's gonna end up with a black eye before the weekend's up, because I'm gonna get elbow dropped, because there's a wrestling pay-per-view and we're gonna watch that this weekend. So somebody's gonna end up tapping out before the night's up with. But I'm celebrating being a productive adult and celebrating getting to be a dad. I don't have too much outside of that this week. So
hell yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah. So tell me, what about you? What do you got going on your side? What are we putting hats on for?
I'm throwing a shout out to manifestations. To be honest, I've struggled with these things for so freaking long. And my wife has been an inspiration to me with them, because she's the queen of manifestations. I'm literally one of her manifestations. Before she even met me, she made this full list, which, if anybody would read, describes Stephen Woodson. And that was before she even knew my name. And lo and behold, here I am. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to work up to it, because it really does seem like a superpower. It's been popular on TikTok here lately. You know, I'm the luckiest person alive. Everything works out in my favor. And it seems to be working. I know TikTok is full of lies too, but like, it's this week, manifestations have actually clicked. Like, they've actually kicked in for me. And that's been a whole lot of fun, is just riding the vibe. I mean, if I wake up and I feel like I'm in a good mood, just keep that shit rolling all day, man. Like, just enjoy it. Ride the wave. And if I'm sad, like I said, be gentle. I sat there and say, hey buddy, like what are we sad about? What's going on? I mean, I know I've talked a lot about that this episode. It's just that the power of finding control in your life through letting go is astonishing to me here lately, to get just a little deep. I don't know. There's a beautiful serenity in it whenever you can just let go and just ride the wave and see what happens. So that's what I'm celebrating. It's a lot of fun. I've got to have our daughter here this week too. And so that's been absolutely amazing. Just getting to spend time with her, and she just turned 4. So having that
shenanigans. Yeah.
All those emotions with a little bit more vocabulary and just snuggle puddles and all that stuff. It's amazing. So,
celebrating manifestations, which is always a good thing. Yeah. So
I think that's great. That's where I want to wrap us up this week, but we do also want to hear what you're celebrating. So please feel free to reach out to us through social media, on our website, email. If you have our number, text us. We don't care.
Don't text me.
Just.
Thanks, Steven. Don't text me.
Sorry. You can text me. Don't text Parker. But anyway, yeah, we just want to know what you're celebrating. We want to be able to celebrate that with you. Like we've said before, we want to grow a community, a safe space for guys to just feel their feelings and celebrate each other. So as always, don't forget to celebrate yourself, keep your mental health in check, and keep growing.
Hit that woo! Congratulations.